Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And a warm and hearty welcome to you, my dear listeners, on this bright, warm Monday afternoon, alhamdulillah. With just a day to go for the glorious month of Ramadan, which we eagerly yearn and excitedly waiting for, it is also for the second year that we are filled with an array of mixed emotions. And for many of us, the month of Ramadan brings with it all the joys and also some sadness and anxiety over the absence of our loved ones who once shared in the joys of this blessed month with us. And that brings us to our topic for today. Now, many of us, and especially recently, have lost someone near and dear to us. And from a personal experience of loss, I know that there are tons of us that struggle with the bereavement stage and the grieving process. So if this is where you find yourself, and especially with the unnatural ways of having lost loved ones recently, then stay tuned to today's program as we welcome Sister Shanaz Randeri, who is a counselor and a certified life coach, a holistic Islamic healer, a motivational speaker, and the founder of Survival Skills for the Homemaker. And alhamdulillah, she's going to take us through the bereavement, the grief, and the loss stages. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the show, Sister Shanaz Randeri.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah Khadija for inviting me on your program.
It's only been my pleasure, Sister Shanaz Randeri. We're actually looking very forward to the program today. You know, when I actually advertised the show and we sent it out on social media and messages to our followers and listeners, I had quite a bit of a great response, because I think everybody is somehow resonating with this particular topic, and people are so much, there's so much of confusion, and there's so overwhelming array of emotions, and people don't know where to start, where to take it on. So I think this is a great, great topic, especially for currently what is happening and for the difficulties that people are facing at the moment. Now, we know many people find themselves in the bereavement stage, you know, grieving the loss of a loved one through the months and years, and most recently also during this COVID pandemic. And we know grief is, Sister Shahnaz, grief is a normal response to loss during or after a disaster or a traumatic event. And it most certainly happens in response to a loss of life, which many of us have experienced, as well as to drastic changes, you know, to the daily routines and the way of life that usually bring us comfort and feeling of stability. And all these are losses that we have incurred most recently due to the pandemic. And during this global pandemic, a palpable sense of collective grief has definitely emerged. And it's important to acknowledge the grief you may be feeling, how to manage it, and how you will actually find meaning in it. And people are feeling a number of different things right now. Sister Shanaz, can you tell us, really, is it right to call some of what we are actually feeling and what people are feeling, is it right to call this feeling grief?
You know, they are basically, when you're looking at the definitions of mourning, of grief, of bereavement, they have something that is related or interrelated and overlapping. And the one main thing is that, you know, there's a feeling of sadness, a feeling of loss, and a deep feeling, you know, of distress. And it was just this type of, you know, when we look at the actual pandemic, it has really caused us to become very, very, I think, anxious at the moment. And because we have just lost that normal way of living, which we had and we were used to, I think that is like something that people are really feeling sad about and anxious and distressed. So grief would be, you know, related to our feelings and our emotions related to all the different changes that are taking place and that have taken place, you know, have been taking place over this year. And even now, we can't even say that we are normal at the moment with the third wave that we are, you know, expecting. and then the controversy over the vaccine issue. So there's a lot of things that people are feeling at the moment. And one of them, you know, as you say, grief is a sense of sadness, a very deep feeling of sadness over the loss of people that were very beloved to them, loss of jobs, you know, any type of loss that requires you to sit, to go into some introspection and to actually look at things in a different way. It really you know, sometimes it could be the outcome could be negative, it could be positive. You know, we're sitting with that type of atmosphere at the moment with this pandemic. Yes. And you know, Khadija, if you look at the pandemic, like our dressing now, we have to have the mask on all the time, and then we're looking at our loss of freedom. Even going to the grocery store causes a bit of anxiety. You know, and life has somehow become like unpredictable, and we've lost control. We've actually lost control, and we like things to be organized, we like things to be predictable, and now life has become, you know, unpredictable. So when you're looking at grief also, grief over the loss of things that are beloved to you, and in bereavement, you know, relating to the death of someone that's very, very beloved to you. These are all interrelated, and then that emotions that you feel in the morning, you know. So grief would be related also to your feelings, you know, and how you're feeling about the loss of so many things. And this pandemic has actually created this awareness that we didn't appreciate, I think, all the things that we did have, maybe, you know. And now that we don't have it, or we feel threatened by it being taken away, that I think we're feeling this feeling of grief.
Of grief, and that makes very much sense, Sister Shinaz. And like you're saying, that means for my next question, you've explained it very well in the first question already. Is it possible to be feeling more than one kind of grief? And I think that's where most of us, we're not sure whether we should be calling it grief or we allow to call it grief, because people are experiencing so many different kinds of things. So is it possible to be feeling more than one kind of grief?
Actually, when you look into the psychological, connotations of grief, and you look at the naming of the different types of grief that you can experience, I was, quite surprised to see that there's like over 10 different types of, labeling of grief. So when we look at it, we can look at, the different types could be like anticipatory grief, which is like when somebody, you know, somebody's maybe got COVID, and now they're very, very sick, they're hospitalized, they're in ICU, and you're anticipating now that they could pass away. So that type of grief is already begun, because now you're anticipating that they are going to die, or something's going to happen to them. Then there's another type of grief. You know, I'm just like going through the main ones. I can't go through all of them. But then you get delayed grief. And delayed grief is like at that moment you do not show the grief. You do not show your sadness. You do not show your emotions. You become stoic and shocked. So, you know, delayed grief is something actually that is happening because people can't cope with the emotions that they are actually experiencing. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You get the complicated grief, which is like it lasts long, and you know, it could be other factors that could be actually making your grief even more, you know, severe, because there are other factors that could be, maybe you don't have a job, maybe financially you're not stable, and then plus now you've lost your husband. So these are things that could actually add to your grief. And then, you know, chronic grief, like when you're looking at grief also, like for 6 months for a child, to be able to get to terms with what has happened, you know, we give them about 6 months, and for an adult, a year. And then after that, if by 6 months they are not feeling so well still, and they're showing chronic signs of grief, then we need to look for professional help. And for an adult, about a year. After a year, there should be some sort of closure on that grief, that which is then, you know, when we're looking at acute grief, which is another type of grief, right? And then mm-hmm. we're looking at the cumulative grief, which is what we are all experiencing at this moment as a community, where there is, basically you may have lost one family member, then you're losing another family member, then somebody is sick in hospital. And so
yes.
cumulative grief, you know, like you don't have time to grieve, actually. You know, the time is...
It's a build-up.
It's a build-up, but you don't have time because it's just from one loss to another loss to another loss. And, you know, people just don't have time to grieve. So because of the multiple losses that they have. And then we look at the collective grief, which we are all experiencing at the moment in terms of as a community, as an ummah. We have lost during this year, like, you know, we have had to sacrifice a lot of... as we say, privileges that we did have before in terms of social gatherings. I think as Muslims and as Indians or Muslims, I think we love to gather together. We love to have our weddings where we have lots of people. And that also is a sign of, you know, you could grieve over not being able to call your family members, not being able to meet them, to be able to connect with them also. And that also leaves a lot of sadness in a person's life. So there are different types of grief, definitely. And then the chronic grief, as I was telling you, is that something that should not be left undetected after a year where the adult is not really coping and integrating their loss into their normal lives. Then we need to look for professional help, and for children as well, like after 6 months, children after 6 months and adults after a year.
So, yeah, I think that's so important how you say look for help, because especially with delayed grief, it's somehow like when you start, when you delay your grieving process, or where you just, you've had this anticipatory grief and now you've just, this has hit you and now you've got this whole delayed grief. I think a lot of people also experience a lot of disassociation at that particular point. Where they kind of when they kind of just have this out of body experience, and you feel like a different person, and I personally experienced that. And you know, being a psychological counselor, I studied all this. I've been through the textbooks, and it was something that I was kind of familiar with the term, but I never actually had anybody who had personally experienced it, so I never ever thought of it being a reality. And I experienced disassociation, and when immediately, like, my dad passed away about 3 months ago with COVID, and I think I was okay through the whole process, and then I got to this particular point where I think it was a delayed grief because of the COVID. My mom was not well. We had to get her out of, we had to get her into recovery. And we just, so it was a point of delayed grief. And I think at one particular point, Sister Shanaz, I experienced the disassociation. You know, my body was completely numb, and I started losing memory. I found it hard to articulate. It's so important to give yourself this time to grieve. You know, it's very important for one's emotional and mental well-being to actually allow yourself to grieve.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I'm so sorry to hear. So as you were saying that you lost your father and then you were busy with your mother, so it just shows that you were very, very busy, you know, running around physically and I think mentally exhausted, that you didn't have time to really think, you know,
and you don't process this. And then when this particular thing happened, and I realized, because I've studied it and I've done my coaching, and I've realized that there was something, you know, this is now familiar. I've read up about it, and can it be possible? And I actually came to a realization that yes, I'm experiencing disassociation, and it's actually not good for my health. And there's so many people out there, there's so many our listeners that are probably experiencing the same thing, and they don't realize that they need this time to grieve, you know. So you feel like you are a different person sometimes. You feel like your heart is pounding and you're lightheaded. You feel emotionally detached. And that was what was happening. I was completely numb and I felt detached. And so for the listeners, it's important to listen in for the rest of the program, if you are experiencing any of this grief, and Sister Shanaz is going to take us through a little bit more. And I think, Sister Shanaz, let's talk about grief and loss. And what does it actually mean to grieve a loss?
Yeah, you see, there's different reactions. There's the common reactions, the emotional reactions, and basically this affects your behavior. So what happens is that, you know, I'm just looking at, you know, a scenario, like a metaphor where you're sitting on this lovely beach and you're sitting on the sand and you're enjoying the weather and the, you know, the, and you're sipping on maybe a cool drink and the children are playing and everything is like this picture perfect world. And then suddenly this tidal wave just comes along, you know, and just like draws everyone into the ocean and into that I would say the dark night, and you are battling now to sort of you know, survive this this ocean that's restless, and you know, so what happens is it seems like your life is very calm and peaceful, and then grief comes in and creates this chaos in you. You know, and then now you're trying to survive and you're trying to cope and you're trying to hold on to anything. And sometimes, you know, it can be very, very difficult to actually stay afloat amidst this chaos. So when we look at it, you know, you would experience extreme fatigue, you would experience weakness. You know, heart, your, you know, it's almost like a fight and flight response when you experience loss. It's, you're going to, your body needs to try and survive. So it would look at, you know, trying to actually compensate. So more of your time and more of your energy is actually going in actually the physical coping. So it would be like your heart rate, the loss of, lack of sleep, your appetite changes, rapid heartbeat. And what happens is you start to neglect yourself. And when you start to neglect yourself, you know, then the cycle just carries on and you start getting weaker and weaker until obviously you then collapse and you can't cope anymore. So we need to recognize that, you know, self-care is key. Self-care is key in all emotional, in all grief, in all emotional outbursts. We need to understand that if we're not going to put on that, you know, life mask over ourselves, an oxygen mask on over ourselves first, you know, to actually survive and cope so that we can help and we can, you know, cope with the situation around us. So the emotional reactions would be like numbness, extreme sadness, confusion, hopeless. You know, you feel like hopeless. You feel like there's no way to sort this problem out. Mm-hmm. There's no hope of the person ever surviving. So all these ideas generate in you more and more of an emotional, you know, I would say to you, a trapping in within you. These emotions are trapped within you. You just need a trigger, any trigger, and actually these emotions will be released in a very, very ugly manner. You know, if you don't cope with them and deal with them. So anger is also part of that grieving, and then disorientation. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning disorientation, restlessness. Mm-hmm. You feel extremely restless. You just feel, you know, it's type of like an anxiety attack that you're actually having. Mm-hmm. You know, when so what happens is when we are grieving, we forget actually to breathe. We forget to understand that we need to sit down, calm ourselves down, relax and breathe in. Because when we start to compromise on our breathing, it actually relates in, this is actually related to our dizziness, our disorientation. Mm-hmm. And then we start to blame ourselves. We start to become detached. You know, we don't want to talk to anybody. Yes. We become withdrawn. We don't want to talk about our emotions at all because we're too scared. Mm. Actually, you become too scared to allow people to get close to you and to find out exactly how you're feeling. You feel like, I don't know, sometimes you feel like if you going to allow someone to know how you're feeling and to actually cry, you feel that you are weak. I don't know why this happens. It feels like you are weak and that you have let yourself down and that you need to be strong for everyone else.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of people actually hold back on the emotions, because they feel that if they have to show it, then they're going to be showing signs of weakness. And like being a mother of the family, or being even a father of the family, or being anybody that's in a higher role of the family, you feel like you need to be strong for everybody else. And this is where you kind of hold back on your emotions, but emotionally, internally, you are eating up at yourself. You know, and that is not good. Eventually, it does take a toll on you, on your mental health, on your physical health. That's like exactly what we were speaking about, where you start experiencing, you know, all these signs of numbness, and you're unable to sleep, and restlessness. And I think it starts all from there. And the grieving the loss of a loved one, while coping with the fear and anxiety, and we've experienced a lot of fear and anxiety, especially related to the COVID-19 pandemic, and it can be especially overwhelming. You know, it's just not your normal kind of grieving anymore, because now you've got this added fear and this added anxiety, and also the social distancing. You know, the stay-at-home orders. It limits. And the limits on the size of in-person gatherings, which have changed the way friends and family can gather now and grieve. So we're not having the traditional funeral services, regardless of whether the person has passed on due to COVID or not. So there are many ways of effectively dealing with the pain of loss. And take us through, Sister Shanaz, take us through some of these effective steps of dealing with losing someone that you love.
Gina, you know, the thing about the COVID, the most upsetting, I would say, part of the grieving process is that a lot of people did not receive closure on the death of their loved ones. You know, they were not there in the hospital. They were not there to allow them to read the kalima. They were not there in the final moments of their leaving the world. So I think a lot of them, and then a lot of the women were in Iddah at that time, so they couldn't even go. Maybe if the masjid allowed the body to remain, at a particular place, some of the women were not even allowed to go there because they were in Iddah. So I think this feeling of closure, a non-closure, you know, is something that has added to the grieving, you know. When we look at actually grief, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a normal thing to grieve, you know, over the loss of things that were beloved to you, of people that were beloved to you. It's a normal, natural reaction. And, you know, we need to understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also cried, he expressed sadness. And it's permissible to shed tears and to feel sorrow, right? So we have this, I think, culture of stoicness, where we don't want to show emotion, and especially our men are not taught to show emotion. And if you show emotion and you cry, I think then the men are like, they're labeled as like not being manly enough. Also something that we have to like cope with in our community, in terms of now allowing people to just express their emotions, allowing them to cry, and giving them, sometimes you feel like you need to do something for that person, but just your presence is a present to that person, you know, and you need to understand that. The messenger, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a lovely, narration of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited a sahabi that was very sick. And, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to weep. And when his companions saw him weeping, you know, they were like shocked. Okay, so you're crying over a friend, you know, over the sahabi that's very, very sick. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you not hear? Allah does not punish for the shedding of tears, the grief of the heart, right? So,
Alhamdulillah.
But punishes or bestows mercy for the utterances of this. And he pointed to his tongue. So this is like a very, very strong warning to us also, that as believers, when undergoing grief and loss, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam endured it. He cried. During his lifetime, he actually, experienced the death of six of his children. Right? And so we understand that. And during that time also, he lost, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before Nubuwa, he was regarded as Al-Amin, As-Sadiq. He was respected by the community. And after Nubuwa, he was actually then, he lost his status. He lost his home. Yes. He had to leave his home. So he also had to deal with all these different types of loss. And he was able to deal with it because of his connection, his strong iman, his guidance, Allah Ta'ala guiding him, Allah Ta'ala giving him guidance and strengthening. He was strengthened from within by the message of the Quran. So we need to understand that losing and loss is part of our deen. It's part of life, to be able to understand that grieving is part of life. It's natural. We are going to lose and we are going to gain. And that's the process of life. And so, when you lose something, you're going to gain something else, and then you're going to lose and you're going to gain. But that's the process of life as we move
of
along.
Life.
Alhamdulillah.
And it brings you so much of peace when you actually hear the stories and the life of the Prophet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to know that he and his family also went through all these kinds of emotions and all these kind of tests and trials. And it brings you so much of peace to know that, our Nabi himself also was... he seen himself through it and he went through it, and inshallah we should just keep our tawakkul in Allah and have faith in him and just pray for our strength, inshallah. Sister Shanaz, we are going to go for a short air break, and when we get back we will continue with the program. I think it's an amazing and amazing topic, and a lot of our listeners would definitely want more information about this. So we'll talk about the stages of grief when we get back, inshallah, after the short air break. Please stay on the line with us.
Okay,
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Let's Talk Life. I am your host, Khadija Muhammad, and today we are speaking about grief, about bereavement, grief and loss. And we know grief, as our guest Sister Shanaz Wendery just spoke to us and explained to us a few things. Grief is a natural response to losing someone that you care about, and there's no right or wrong way to grieve. Everyone experiences of grief are individual, and the important thing is to do what feels right for you. So with that, welcome back. Help me in welcoming back Sister Shanaz Wendery to our show. Assalamu alaikum, Shanaz, and welcome back to Let's Talk Life.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
We're going to go into the stages of grief, and there are a few stages of grief that we need to know and process and go through. What are the different stages of grief?
Okay, so most of the psychologists have outlined, different stages of grief. But I would say to you, it's not that simple. It's not that simple. Mm-hmm. And that also these stages could overlap. Depends more on the emotional stability before the actual, before the actual trauma, and your outlook on life and your actual, processing of your past experiences would actually interfere, with your healing process. Basically loss occurs, it's a trigger to something that could be, that could be emotionally hidden for years. Some trauma that could have been hidden or deeply buried, and that you didn't have time to grieve over it. So what happens is that when you're experiencing grief again, it could be then highly acute, because now you didn't have time to process the first grief, and now you're already you are able to process grief. So it may be, very, very acute. The symptoms may be very acute at first. But when you're looking at the stages of grief, it could be, it's not in a linear fashion. I would say to you, it's an individual thing, but we have isolated five different types of stages. And we go into the first one is denial. And, when somebody loses someone, And if it's sudden, or even if it's anticipatory, it's still, I don't think, you know, even if someone is very sick, you will not get to terms with losing them until they've gone. You know, nothing can prepare you enough. I don't know, you know, nothing can prepare you enough for the loss of an individual. Even though you know that death is going to come, and we've already, Allah Ta'ala has already told us our life is going to be short, and that, you know, we should be preparing for death every day. And we do know when we look at our family members that we don't know today, tomorrow, who's going to be around. But still, that doesn't prepare us enough for when they're completely gone. You know, and their toothbrush is still there, and their slippers are there, and their clothes are in the cupboard, and you know, so I think when they do depart from the world, we will live with denial for a while, because we can't believe actually that they're gone. You know, their number is still saved on your phone, their messages were still there, and you know, you can't comprehend that they actually just gone completely. You want to you want to look for them, you want to find them, you want to dial their number, you want to hold their clothes, and you want to feel their presence, and you want to think actually that it's not real at all, and that it's just a very bad nightmare you're having, and that suddenly you're going to wake up and everything's going to be fine. So this stage of denial, so that's like shock denial. And then the second stage would be anger, you know, and this anger now could be, you know, it could be actually targeted against Allah. Na'uzu billah, I mean, why did Allah take my partner? Yes. Why did Allah do this to me? You know, that's a common sort of
anger.
In your anger, you would like ask questions like why, and you know, you try to displace your anger by getting irritated with everybody, and actually that actually influences your behavior, because people will say like, I don't know why she's behaving like this, I don't know why she's behaving like that, but you're unable to tell them that, listen, I'm really, really feeling sad, I'm really missing my partner, I'm really missing this person, or I'm very upset, you know, I lost my job. We are unable to verbalize our you know, our thoughts easily to other people. So we keep these emotions inside, and then, you know, we use the emotion of anger actually to now control our environment, because we're unable to control our circumstances. And that is where also you find that people start becoming bully. You know, they bully, they use bullying tactics. You know, they start to control people when they are unable to control their environment. They undergo sometimes a behavioral change, and they're just not the same person after, you know, some tragic circumstance has occurred. Then we get bargaining, where you like try now to, you know, you try to cope by asking Allah, you know, to give you back your husband, and you're still in denial, and you say like, I'll do everything, I'll do anything, I'll, you know, you try to like beg and compromise, because you're still in a state of denial, and you're still in a state of shock. So you know, and then this can result in now depression, where you are feeling a state of sadness most of the time, and you're unable to cope with it. So this now doesn't allow the endorphins to be released. So you start to feel anxious and depressed. And so you can go into a dark, deep hole, just pushing yourself further and further inside, you know, as you go along. And then the other stage, you know, the final stage is when you actually understand now that you've got to accept that person has gone, has left the world. But because in Islam we have a lot of hope in the Quran and the ayahs that are continually giving us this hope, so our acceptance should be something that where we now integrate that person into our lives, in a way that now we can actually carry on a normal life, understanding that they're not there, but they have not left us. You know, They have not left us. They are still.
We haven't forgotten them.
No, we haven't. We haven't forgotten them, and nor have they forgotten us. Because, you know, it is reported in the hadiths that every time somebody passes away, you know, the marhums gather and then they ask about the people of the world and they find out about everybody. You know, so they haven't forgotten us, and nor are we going to forget them. That is what happens when you go into shock and denial, when you try to now blot out that memory of that person, and then now either accept the, either you now saying that they are haven't passed away, or and living in denial, or you're saying that they never existed at all. And I find that families that do that, you know, because I've been counseling for so many years, alhamdulillah, I found that families that just stop talking and they just go into the shell and they just cope with it in a very, very, it's almost like, you know, silence. They don't want to talk about the person.
Talk about it.
It's painful. Mm. It's too painful. Yeah. So, they actually go into that denial that that person has passed away. They just don't want to talk about it anymore. And these, you know, family members that later on grow up, get married, you know, it's the psychological impact of that, you know, that stoicness and that unable to accept the death, which is a very, very important part of living, is to accept that death is a reality. That person has moved on to a better place, and that we are also going to move on, you know. So acceptance of the person leaving this world and accepting them, you know, that they have now left you in a sense in the world, but they're still waiting for you in Akhirah, you know. So I think that I think that gives a lot of peace of mind. So the last but the steps involved in it is like individualized, depending on how you can choose to remain at the funeral of your loved one forever. You know, like I've met clients that just refuse to move out of their funeral.
Yes.
They just want to be absorbed in that sadness. Mm. And then you can see people that, as I say to you, generally by about a year, because of all the milestones, maybe the birthdays, the anniversaries, the special, you know, special days that you Eid and Eid al-Adha, these things. So the first year is most painful because all these memories keep, you know, reminding you. But after the year, you should be accepting, you know, and be ready to integrate now that person that's now left you, but not really left you in a sense. Now you're integrating them into, and their memories and the beautiful life that they led, you are now integrating it into your life as well. So acceptance is actually the final stage in the stages of grief, but the other stages, you know, could vary as the you know, as you move along.
And like you were saying, you know, what happens is people in the prolonged version of their lives, they actually experience all these build up of this emotions, and it kind of just becomes an outburst, and it becomes very overwhelming because they haven't dealt with it at the time. So, you know, we're almost near the end of the show, Sister Shanaz, but can you tell us maybe in a few words what happens actually when one doesn't allow this acceptance and one doesn't actually grieve?
Yeah, no, the psychological impact of it is actually it affects all interpersonal relationships. When you're unable to accept, you know, the loss of your loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of whatever has affected you, you need to process it. You need to, you need to understand that part of divine planning. You need to connect back to Allah Ta'ala. But if you're going to now keep all these emotions in and you're unable to express it, it's going to result in a huge emotional block, and it's going to affect all your interpersonal relationships. Because when you stuff things inside, the long-term effects of stuffing anger, stuffing sadness, stuffing in things without actually verbalizing it will result result in huge physical, you know, also trauma physically as well. Because I don't know, you know, it's so common, like when someone dies, then some very close member gets a heart attack, you know, or they get a stroke, or they get like some other disease, and some, and it's very, very common also where one person dies and then the other person also passes, you know, one person passes away and then the other person also, because of heartbreak, you know, you would say like their heart is broken. So,
they died of a broken heart.
Yes, so it definitely impacts on your behavior as well, on your relationship with others. And so the story that you put together in your mind needs to be a very peaceful story, because you can't take the person's death. You know, maybe they died in a very traumatic way. Maybe the memories of, you know, you can't sit with the dying and the death. You need to focus on their living and the memories of their living and the beauty of the lessons that they taught, and bring them alive in your home and to the generations that are, you know, pass on their legacy to the generations that go that are going to be now learning from their memories, rather than looking at just the punctuation and full stop at the end of their life, and forgetting the chapters that were ahead of that, you know, and the book that they left behind with all the memories within it, and we just focus on that punctuation at the end of their lives, which is the death. But actually, in Islam, that punctuation is just the beginning.
Just the beginning, alhamdulillah. We're so fortunate to be blessed with our religion that actually gives us so much of courage that for our year after. It makes us love in this world for our year after. And I think that's where we find our peace and our solace, that our loved ones are in a better space and we will meet up with them, inshallah, in Jannah. So, alhamdulillah for our wonderful, beautiful religion. Sister Shanaz, we are actually almost at the end of the show. So, just maybe in a minute or two, can you just round up some final words for our listeners?
I would just like to say that please, if you know anyone that has lost anyone, that is going through any type of you know, loss, and they are in bereavement, they are in sorrow, they are in distress. We are in a process of lockdown. We are anticipating the third wave, but we can still phone, we can still give them a call, we can still ask about them, we can still talk to them. So if you are in a state of grief, talk to others, you know, find support from your family members, allow them to listen to you, and allow, you know, cry and talk about your emotions, because, you know, that is what really will help you to heal when you find, and you would find that there are so many people in your family that are there to support you. But, you know, so reach out for help and allow them to hand that, you know, life jacket to you and wear it, and you, inshallah, will stay afloat, inshallah. You know, and I would just say that we have the tools to healing. Allah Ta'ala does not place upon us a burden greater than we have strength to bear. So we need to understand that the Quran and the Sunnah are our lifeline, our life jackets, also our strength of our iman. And Allah Ta'ala, definitely you need to understand that whatever you're going through is not a permanent thing, because Allah Ta'ala gives us periods of difficulty and periods of ease, and you need to keep saying to yourself that this too shall pass, and the promise of Jannah and the rewards of Jannah are definitely a reality. And in Islam, we don't say you know, till death do us part. We say till Jannah reunites us, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. That's why I say we are so fortunate. Alhamdulillah. And thank you so much, Sister Shanaz. You know, you've just, I think you've really put a lot of peace and into so many of our listeners' hearts. I know I am feeling so much more relieved after hearing what you've had to say about grief, because, you know, it's a difficult process to be grieving and to be in a bereavement stage. So Jazakallah so much for that. We would love to have you back on our show again so we can discuss more of these wonderful topics. And you have such a, you're so well versed, Alhamdulillah. So it's really been an honor for you, for me actually, to have you on my show today. Jazakallah khairan so much for being part of the show today. We wish you a blessed Ramadan, inshallah. Please take care of yourself and your families. And we look forward to having you back again with us, like I said, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, Khadija, for giving me an opportunity. And Allah Ta'ala keep you with Afia and the radio station also, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen.
Allow it to be a means, continue to be a means of hidayah for the Ummah, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. And remember us all in your blessed du'as, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
And to my listeners, there we had Sister Shanaz Randri, who spoke to us about the grieving stages, bereavement stages, and you may be experiencing the longing and the yearning, and you may be even dreaming about them. But for me personally, I have found an anchor, something to keep me grounded when I feel the staggering pain of the loss of my dad recently due to COVID. And I see him as this bird that flies so happily and peacefully around us, just as he is amongst the green birds of Jannah. And that immediately brings peace to my heart and uplifts my sorrows. So find your anchor, something that reminds you of them and something that can keep you grounded. And remember, you do not, like Sister Shanaz Randri said, you do not have to go through bereavement alone. There are lots of ways to get support. Whether you prefer to talk to someone in person or to join an online community, get in touch with us coaches who are able to assist you through the process of bereavement. If you'd like to get more information, contact the studio for Sister Shanaz Randri's details, or you can contact me and we can help you through the process of bereavement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us all and grant us all peace and strength and shower his mercy and blessings upon us. And although we step into the month of Ramadan with one or few less loved ones at our tables this glorious month, much of the pains of their absence will overwhelm us. But let us know that this world is a short life and the days of the year after are better and longer. So let us keep let us seek the blessings and goodness and forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the month of the Quran for us and for our marhumin, inshallah, ameen. And when our arms cannot reach those close to our hearts, let us hug them with our prayers and pray that their covers are filled with noor and that they are enjoying the fruits and the pleasures of Jannah, inshallah, happily and peacefully. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. Stay safe and stay blessed. Allahumma anta السلام ومنك السلام وتبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.